Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Iceman Insights, WYIR, starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com. All of your Evansville Iceman information all the time, 24/7, IcemanManiacs.com. And the Dirty D, how you doing, Michael?
Sweating.
Yeah.
Tired of this heat and humidity already.
Oh, are you kidding me? It's 82 degrees outside.
Yeah, that's too warm. I'm ready for hockey season.
Oh, now, were you one of the people, one of everybody that complained about how cold it was this winter?
Well, I think it was ridiculously cold this winter, but in general.
By ridiculously cold, you mean perfect?
No.
That's how I felt.
It was the North Pole. General, I like winter better than the heat of summer, but this winter was a little unusual, to say the least.
You need to move to San Francisco or something, because this was an awesome winter, and it hasn't even gotten hot yet.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse.
But anyways, let's...
But we're in the studio here, rocking our difference of beverages.
Yes, we are.
I'm rocking the Coca-Cola in the old school glass bottle. And what is it that you've chosen as your beverage this afternoon?
Labatt Blue in the glass bottle.
Day drinking.
I mean, Gatorade.
Yeah. So that's it. And you're also rocking the... Describe for our listeners your facial accoutrement.
I got facial hair for radio. Let's just say that when you've been married for 15 years and you come out of the bathroom in the morning and your wife says, "Oh my God, what have you done to your face?" You know that you have found
a winner,
a look. So that's it.
It's like Will Ferrell in like a 70s throwback sketch on SNL.
You got it.
That's pretty much the look.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's going to be girls banging down our doors here pretty soon.
That's the only thing they'll be banging.
Iceman news and notes. Wow, it took us all 2 minutes.
It's across the line. The Iceman coaching search continues. No news yet, but Eyewitness
News.
We
assume it's continuing.
Yeah, we don't know.
Of course, we're already too late because, as reported by Kevinsville, that the coaching search had to be done
by June 1,
yeah. and sent into the ECHL front office.
Yeah, apparently no one else knew that.
Yep.
But, breaking news. Yeah,
there you go. That's
Randall
that's
Parmley.
For you.
Randall Parmley, slightly more legitimate source. From Eyewitness News, did tweet that an announcement should be made this week. I don't know what his source is, but apparently he knows more than either of us. He has connections we don't.
Yep.
So we'll see if it is indeed made this week. I would think, if not this week, probably next week, because we are getting to the time where roster decisions are going to have to start being made, and you kind of have to have a coach in place in order to make those decisions. So,
well, what'll be really interesting is the ECHL put out this week that the all trades have to be finalized for future consideration. Trades from this year have to be finalized. So it'll be interesting to see who makes those decisions on a couple of trades that we made.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some stuff that has to be, finished.
Tied
so
up.
We'll see how those loose ends do get tied up. One dark horse candidate I would consider for the coach, and I posted this on the Maniac message board a few weeks ago, but it's a guy I just figured I'd mention him here too. A guy named Rod Aldoff, I believe, Aldoff. He's 43 years old, played 15 pro seasons, mostly in AA, before getting into coaching in the junior ranks. He started coaching in Canadian Junior A in the SIJHL. 3 seasons, he went 145, 15, and 8, and he won the championship all 3 seasons. That consistency earned him a shot in the pro ranks this past season. With Pensacola in the SPHL, all he did there was go 38-13-5, which was the best record in the regular season, and won the playoff championship there. So He only has 4 total years of experience as a head coach, none higher than single A, but he's 183, 28, and 13 in the regular season with 4 championships in 4 seasons.
And he's got the connection to Donnie Harris.
That's true, yeah. So I don't know. We talked about last show what path the Icemen might take with the coach if there was maybe some trepidation of going to another pile-type guy that has a lot of experience and maybe go to the opposite end of the spectrum. And if you're going to go to the opposite end of the spectrum, this would be the kind of guy, a guy that may not have the experience, but what experience he does is white hot.
Yeah, and we'll get into this a little bit more after we get to this next couple of bullets, because you got Indy Fuel and Toledo Walleye, and guess what? They're going younger guys and up-and-comers. So Fuel announced theirs last Monday, and or 2 Mondays ago, and then Toledo last this week.
Yeah. Indy named their first coach Scott Hillman, a guy that we know a little bit. He had an 8-year playing career in the minors. Once he was done playing, he won back-to-back titles in the SPHL with Knoxville in his first 2 years as a head coach. And then he went to the CHL with the Missouri Mavericks franchise. He helped launch that franchise. He was there for 5 years. Made 5 playoff appearances, but never did get past the second round. But they were always consistently good. That's one of those teams that's been a very good regular season team, and for whatever reason, they've never been able to put it together in the playoffs. But definitely a guy I think that has some potential, and you never know, if you put him in the right situation with the right affiliate, he could very well win a championship in the ECHL. He was also a guy, when I posted the thing about Rod Aldoff a few weeks ago on the Maniac message board, I mentioned 3 names. Aldoff and Hillman were 2 of the 3. And Hillman is going to get a shot in Indy, and we'll see how it plays out. It'll be interesting to see if that stokes a rivalry at all with the Icemen. You know, not really any guys that we had back then are still here other than Beaulieu. Maybe, if he does come back. But Hillman's teams were kind of – they were always those kind of push-the-envelope, chippy,
yep,
high-flying kind of teams that kind of got under your skin. So – we'll see if that stokes a rivalry quickly between the Icemen and the Fuel.
Toledo Walleye, too, pulled the trigger on their new coach.
Yeah, Derek Lalonde played in college and then spent 16 years working his way up as an assistant coach with 5 different colleges.
Ferris State being one of them.
Yes, and the University of Denver as well, I believe. His only head coaching experience has been the last 3 seasons in the USHL with the Green Bay Gamblers. And he, in those 3 seasons, has made the playoffs each year and won a playoff championship in his first season. So another young guy that may not have a really long resume, but his short resume is rather impressive.
Yep, and just like development of the players and everything else, you're seeing a lot of coaches develop too. And it looks like this is the trend is to get the young up-and-coming guys, and if they can work at a CHL level or an SP level or a national development level, then looks like owners are looking to give them an opportunity. Like, isn't Hillman – one of them's like 33 years old or something like that, pretty young.
Yeah, Hillman's pretty young. He retired. He only played for 8 years and was still relatively young. He's not very old, and yeah, neither is Lalonde. He's a little older, but he's not old by any stretch of the imagination. So I think, yeah, it really is a, you know, it's a developmental league, and I think there's certainly value in having a coach who has experience in that long resume, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a success.
Yep.
And you can very much catch lightning in a bottle with someone who's younger and, in all likelihood, cheaper, too.
Yeah. And I think head coach Jeff Pyle will catch on somewhere. May not be this season, but he's always going to be that guy that if something flames out bad, you can get him on the phone and bring him in, and he'll right the ship for you. And you know how it is in sports. There's trends. So right now the trends are the young guys, and a couple of these guys flame out, and then everything will be back to the tried and tested and experienced.
Down the door, right. Yep. In other ECHL news, the Las Vegas Wranglers will sit out the 2014-15 season after their tent arena deal fell apart. So the league will only have 7 teams in the Western Conference this coming season, and the playoff format is still to be determined. We'll see what the league does to handle that. Might not be announced anytime soon. Last year, the playoff format was not officially announced until right before the season began, so Might be a while before we find that out, but it'll be interesting.
Would you be interested in only the top four teams battling it out and not worry about the eight in the Eastern Conference? That would make for some awesome, hockey.
It would make the regular season a lot more important. You know, it seems like when there's eight out of 12 or 13 getting in, you can kind of tread water and be around 500 and stay in contention like we were last year.
Yep.
But if only the top four out of those 12 or 13 get in, then you got to be really good, and you can't have any prolonged slumps. And it definitely does make the regular season more important. But I don't know.
See,
I wouldn't be entirely opposed to it.
I really enjoyed the playoffs this year, but the one thing at this level, this isn't the NHL, and the attendance takes like a 2/3 drop in the first round. Like Kalamazoo, top team in the Eastern Conference, they averaged 1,600 people a game.
Yeah.
For their three playoff games before they lost to Greenville, and it's like, do we really need to drag eight teams into this, or you want to just go with the top four and everyone else just shut it down and save their money?
What is really gained by that extra round? Yeah, that's a very good question. I don't know if the owners would have to sign off on it. Because they're the ones that make that decision. So I guess the question for them is, are you willing to just say, we'll do one less round of the playoffs, and it's going to make it that much harder for the teams in the East to get in, but it will keep it balanced between the conferences, and it'll make it so not everyone in the West does get in. So I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think it's a decent enough idea. And the other thing, too, is if you do that, if you cut it down to one less round in the playoffs, you could spread it out a little more and give teams more weekend dates in the playoffs, which would help attendance. Yep.
And you can get who's going to watch Cincinnati and Alaska this Saturday night when Game 2 is on NBC.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nobody other than the people in that arena are going to be watching that game. If you live in Cincinnati and you're a diehard Cyclones fan, there's a good chance you're still going to watch NBC instead of paying America One.
Right.
So,
especially if you're a diehard.
Yes.
That was good. I like that.
So,
very, very East Coast.
So maybe you have the ECHL just get done sooner too.
Right, yeah. If you have three rounds, you can have a few more weekend dates and you can get done before the Stanley Cup Finals. So, there's a lot of positives to that. I guess you'd sit down and list the pros and cons and decide which way to go. But ultimately, dollar signs are often the determining factor. And if the owners realize that, you know, we're not really gaining anything by having eight teams when we could get to the same place in the long run and only have four, then, that's what they may do. But interestingly, you know, if we only did the top four in the Eastern Conference this year, Cincinnati Cyclones would not be in the finals.
Yeah, how
interesting would that be?
Because
they were the five seed. Yep. So, you know, it is what it is. You may eliminate that chance of, you know, losing more money in the first round, but you could have a team that gets hot in the playoffs. Yeah. That doesn't get into the playoffs. So it's an interesting discussion, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the league does. Whatever the decision is, it's not like it's necessary to be a long-term thing. Yep. Every year they kind of reassess based on how many teams they have. So you could try it for a year, and if you don't like it, you could go back to having eight teams in the East the next year and figure out what to do in the West then.
What about if they went to the West and six teams made it, top six make it, top two get a bye. So then you're staying on the same calendar as the Eastern Conference, but you got two teams that may not play for a week and a half.
Yeah. I've never been a big fan. You know, you can do a bye in football, but I'm not a fan of doing byes in hockey just because by the time you play a series, even if you only do best of three, that's still a week.
Yeah.
So that's a long time for a hockey team to sit. Football teams are used to sitting for a week. Hockey teams are not. So, I don't know that I would be a fan of that, but I think I would almost still like it better than just letting everyone in by default.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you're still going to have a bye issue because you have seven teams.
Yeah.
So
the West is going to be all sorts of screwy. If you do anything more than four, you're going to have somebody having a bye. So we'll see. On the topic of the Wranglers sitting idle, that means the ECHL now officially has three arena-less franchises that are dormant. A lot of people may not know, but the Reno Raiders have been inactive since 1998, and the Columbia Inferno in Columbia, South Carolina, have been inactive since 2008. And they both.
Does anyone get drawing a paycheck off of those guys?
I don't think anyone is drawing a paycheck, but the owners are still officially on the ECHL Board of Governors. They get a vote in the votes, and they're listed in the media guide and everything. So they are officially still active in the league in the boardroom, even though they do not have teams on the ice. But they still say that if they can ever work out a deal to get an arena with acceptable ice in their home cities, they will restart their franchises. So I don't think either of them are going to happen anytime soon, but Vegas makes three.
Yep.
In other news, the Allen Americans in the CHL have been sold to the guys who own the Wichita Thunder and the Tulsa Oilers, so they now own a third of the nine CHL teams.
Gives you good odds of winning a championship.
Yes, it does. Yeah, one out of three. And it also gives you better odds of keeping the league afloat or having control to try to keep the league afloat a little bit longer. I still think that's a sinking ship, but they may be able to keep bailing the water out for a few more seasons. We'll see. Back in the ECHL, protected lists were announced on Monday, this Monday, the 2nd. No surprises, the Icemen protected all 19 ECHL contracted players who were eligible. The protected lists really don't indicate anything. There's no maximum. You can protect everyone that you can legally, contractually protect. So no surprises there. The next critical date's worth mentioning. The season-ending rosters are due on June 15th, and the maximum there is 20. So we could theoretically include everyone on the protected list on the season-ending roster because we have room.
Except for the fact that we got to finish off some trades.
Well, yeah, we'll see. And then qualifying offers are due on July 1st. That is a maximum of 8. And that's when you really start getting into hard decisions as far as who you want to bring back. And that's when you really need to have a coach in place to start making those qualifying offers. So worth noting, the veteran limit in the ECHL is still 4 veterans who have played 260 or more professional games at the start of the season. Our only returnees who would be veterans are Josh Beaulieu and Matt Krug. I looked up the numbers. Matt Shepke would be 4 games short of the veteran limit. Tom Zanoski is about 60 games short. Guy Lapine is 74 games short because so much of his experience is overseas in a league that doesn't count. And also worth noting, a former Iceman is 3 games short of being a veteran. He used to wear number 11.
I know that guy.
What's his name?
Jason Dale.
Yeah. And then our final piece of news and notes. The ECHL will announce the 2014-2015 regular season schedule today, Wednesday, the 4th at 2 p.m. Central Time. So right around the time this ends airing on WYIR. And hopefully within the next week or so, I will have printer-friendly versions of the schedule up on IcemanManiacs.com. So you'll have that whenever I announce it on the on the Iceman Maniacs Facebook page and Twitter. So I have a couple questions for you. First, who do you want to face on opening night?
The Gwinnett Gladiators.
You want to face the Gwinnett Gladiators. Why is that?
I don't know. I just got a feeling.
You just got a feeling.
Yep.
Mm. Is that the word going around?
Yep.
Mm. All right, then. Will we make any trips to the Western Conference?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
But I don't know that one. I do know we're opening with Gwinnett. But I did not know.
Breaking
I don't
news.
Yeah, but I didn't know. Well, I'm kind of hoping that the calendar's out before the show starts at 1. I don't think we'll make any trips out west, and I don't think any west teams will come here.
You don't?
I think not that they don't want to, but I got a feeling everyone's financially trying to keep things under control. So we'll see.
Yeah.
There is that mandate that every 3 years you're supposed to go out, you're supposed to play interconference. But
now, is
we'll
that
see.
An official mandate, or is that a wink, wink, nudge, nudge suggestion that we're not totally going to hold you to?
I will talk to Joe Ernst and find out for the next show.
I would like to know. That's a thing that gets tossed about online, and I don't know that we've ever really found out one way or the other for sure. Because Dixie has talked to Ron Geary, and he's said over and over again that he was told when he joined the ECHL he never has to travel out west except in the playoffs. So I don't know if that's one of those deals where we strongly encourage teams to go out west once every 3 years, but we won't really force you to.
Well, and what's interesting is since he did it in the preseason.
Yeah.
So they played
to Alaska.
Yeah, they played a couple exhibition games.
And now they
end
up going there again.
Yeah.
So maybe we should go to Alaska next year, and it means we'll get to the
Hey, I've been telling that for
finals.
Ron since the ink dried on my contract.
Which was, what, a day or two before the season began last year?
Something like that. Doesn't matter. Let's get the job done.
All right. Moving on.
Playoffs, baby. Playoffs.
In the ECHL, Cincinnati beat Greenville in six in the Eastern Conference Championship, and Alaska beat Bakersfield in six in the West.
I believe I predicted all of that.
The finals are underway. Alaska leads 2-1. Games 4-6 are in Cincinnati.
Isn't the ECHL wonderful?
3-1?
Yeah, just because the travel's so bad.
Yeah, they get it.
Yep, but it's just awesome. If you want everything just cookie cut and mass manufactured and everything else, and enjoy your NFL and your NHL and everything else, those schedules are done 20 years in the future because it's just a model. In the ECHL, it's a little bit more...
A little dynamic.
Yep, a little gunslinging and figuring it out as you go.
Yeah, and whatever they think will work best for the bottom line is what they try to do.
I am traveling to Cincinnati for games 4 and 5, Friday and Saturday.
Are you?
Yes,
going to be on air or just watching?
No, just watching, but ECHL week... the 30-minute TV show, mm-hmm. I'm going to be hauling his camera around for him because his intern didn't show up.
Really?
So, yep. So I will be helping out with that a
little
bit.
You're basically going to be an intern.
Yeah, I'm basically becoming Ian Frazier.
Well, yikes. In the AHL, the Final Four consisted of your beloved Toronto Marlies.
Yep, trying to get the job done. We ran into the Grand Rapids Griffins last year, couldn't beat them. They ended up winning the championship, and hopefully we can beat the Texas Stars this time.
The aforementioned Texas Stars, not beloved by Jeff Pyle.
No. Though he still does wear all of the merchandise that he got from them.
Yeah. The St. John's Ice Caps in Newfoundland. And the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. The Calder Cup Finals will start this weekend. They're getting close to the end of the line as well. They're actually behind the NHL, which is what happens when you have four rounds of seven games. Actually, they play best of five in the first.
Yeah, they play best of five in the first.
But they spread it out to try
since
to give
Springfield
weekend dates.
Figured out
yeah.
once again.
Yeah, they would have been okay. They'd still be alive if it was a seven-game series. But it was not. And in the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals matchup is the Los Angeles Kings, who have home ice advantage, and the New York Rangers. Starts tonight, the 4th. Games 3 and 4 will be on NBCSN, all other games on NBC.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be fantastic. Really liked my predictions this year. Came really close. Chicago and Montreal was my Stanley Cup prediction.
You had the runners-up in each conference.
But what a great series, and I shut everything down on Sunday night. That game 7, the beers were in the fridge, the dinner was made. The curtains were drawn. Yeah.
Labatt was poured.
And we went to overtime, and it was fantastic. And I expect much the same for the Stanley Cup.
Who do you think is going to win?
I got Rangers in 7.
I think I'm leaning Rangers, too. I think the Kings have been so inconsistent, and it seems like they've been playing with house money for a while. You know, they keep getting to the brink of elimination and then somehow pull a rabbit out of their hat. And I just think they're going to run out of tricks. I think Rangers, too. I'll say Rangers in 6.
I like the Rangers' speed. And the end of that Montreal series, they just got to the point where they just flipped the puck high in the air down the ice and let their forwards
beat
the defensemen. And I think over seven games, I mean, you look at, it doesn't get any better in net. You got Jonathan Quick in one end and King Henrik in the other net, and it's going to be fantastic. And they're great teams. I think all four teams were great. But, boy, that speed over seven games, I think, will do the difference.
So with how everything played out, how do you think it would have played out differently had Carey Price not gotten injured?
Man, I don't know. I think it would have went to Game 7 for sure. And but I think the bigger – well, it's tough to say. It's a 50-50 issue, but that Boston series was so tough and so huge for them.
Took a lot out of them.
Well, that first game they weren't ready to play, and they got shelled like 7-3 or
at
whatever.
Home.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that close.
They put themselves behind the eight ball after that and had a hard – and then you have the Carey Price incident. But I think it made a – and Tokarski played great, but things change when you got a different goalie. We've talked about that in the past.
Change and, the way you play.
And you think a little bit more, and that's all it takes. And so
– yeah. You may get away with that at times during the regular season, but you don't in the conference finals.
Yep. It's tough, and so – yep, but I still think the better team won, and I think the Rangers are just an amazing story. I mean, you think back to last year, silly season, they had just fired John Tortorella and had just hired Alain Vigneault, who had been fired from Vancouver.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what, retread, blah, 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 and now look at them.
And then they started slow this season, too.
And then they traded
everybody was counting them out.
And then they traded a captain.
Yeah. It's certainly not the standard blueprint to getting to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I think I saw a tweet from some hockey expert, and he said everyone's rushing out to follow the New York Rangers blueprint to how to build a Stanley Cup contending team, now realizing that they don't have a blueprint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you just kind of – it's like scheduling in the ECHL. You just kind of draw it up as you go.
There you go. Anyways, up next, the best segment, the only segment that – you get 3 minutes of us and not yapping. Shockers! Hockey Rock Song of the Week!
Every now and then I like to throw in a new song. Usually these songs are songs that I used to play at Swander, but this is a new one. This is actually a brand new song. I think it's a song that would be a good tune for pregame warm-ups or perhaps even the hype video on the Jumbotron, because the lyrics in the chorus describe Iceman fans to a T at every Iceman home game. The quote that I like is, when the lights go out, the walls come down, we sound just like animals.
Are you referring to the Ford Center or the Facebook page?
Yes, both. So this is a band that is fronted by professional wrestler Chris Jericho. It is not a novelty act. They're actually very good, and it's a band called Fozzy. This is Lights Go Out, just released about a month ago, hot off the presses.
Angels fall to the other. by humming, pushing buttons when the lights go, lights go.
With Michael Shockley and Daddy.
And we're back. Iceman Insights. Shocker. Dirty D. Wired. Segment 2, NHL News and Notes.
Some coaching news first. The Nashville Predators hired Peter Laviolette.
Love it.
You think he will turn their offense around as they hope?
I think I could turn their offense around.
On the flip side, the Washington Capitals have hired Barry Trotz.
I love it because Alex Ovechkin will just sit on the bench and just drink vodka with his helmet on backwards. This is a marriage made in hell.
And it's going to be really fun to watch
from
the outside.
Yes, you might as well just do the reality TV show because it is going to be an absolute nightmare.
Oh, can you imagine the behind closed doors? Those conversations between Trotz trying to get Ovechkin to play defense, it's going to be so much fun. Unless you're a Caps fan, and then it's going to be a train wreck.
So is that Dixie Halber?
Yes,
or?
Dixie is a Caps fan, and Rickard, Steven Rickard, is a long-time Caps fan.
I knew
Caps
we had, and I couldn't remember, because Steven Halber is a Flyers fan. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, Rickard was a Caps fan before the Nashville Predators came into existence, and then he became a Preds fan too. But the Caps are his Eastern Conference team, and Dixie's always been a Caps fan. So I don't know if we have any other Caps fans in our fan base.
Yeah,
none ring
Might
a bell.
Be a couple,
but that's a couple of big ones right there.
Yep,
Miss President and Captain Tater.
I was interested to see where you're going with that one.
Yeah. In other coaching news, Carolina, Florida, and Vancouver are still searching for their replacements.
Yep. And if you listened to the first half of the show on the amusement park, you got a little breakdown of Gerard Gallant, his abilities to Montreal contacted, or Florida contacted Montreal for the availability of assistant coach Gerard Gallant. So we broke that down in the first hour.
Interesting.
Yep.
And if you're listening to the podcast version of this show, then that's why you need to listen to the amusement park on WYIO.
There you go. Jack Adams Award, stupidest award ever created.
Yeah, NHL Award Ceremony is June 24th in Las Vegas. The Adams Award candidates are Mike Babcock from Detroit, John Cooper from Tampa Bay, and Patty Waugh from Colorado. Who do you think wins it?
I hate this award, so I'm not even going to guess. And the reason why I hate it is it doesn't reward people who coach the best teams. It rewards people who the experts thought when they did their mock who's going to make the playoffs and they completely underestimated someone, and then they make the playoffs, and then instead of saying, boy, I don't know what I'm talking about, they say, he's a great coach.
He overachieved with what he had.
Yeah, so Mike Babcock has never won this award. Never.
Which is kind of funky when you think about
it. He's got 4 Stanley Cups. He's never won this award.
I will say, though, Cooper and Waugh are both good candidates. In this year's group, you couldn't go wrong with any of these three.
No.
Because Babcock dealt with all kinds of injuries in Detroit, and Cooper and Waugh both coached teams that nobody expected to do anything. It wasn't just the experts. We didn't think they were going to do anything either. Well, everybody thought Colorado was a year or two away yet from being a legit candidate, a contender. And maybe they're not a contender yet for the Cup, but they had one heck of a year. And Tampa Bay, all they did is go and play really well and pile up one heck of a record despite Stamkos missing half the year and San Luis deciding he didn't want to be in town anymore.
Yep. So you know who I give it to? Patrick Waugh. You know why? 52 wins.
That's a lot of wins.
That's a lot of wins.
Yeah. The Hart Trophy, most
and
valuable.
And if I could give it to somebody, I would give it to who won the President's Trophy?
Boston.
Boston. That's who I would give it to.
The Hart Trophy, most valuable player, Sidney Crosby, Ryan Getzlaf, Claude Giroux. Is there any way that Crosby does not win this?
Nope.
104 points.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Selke Trophy, best defensive forward. The candidates are Patrice Bergeron from Boston, had 62 points and was plus 38. Anze Kopitar from the Kings, 70 points and plus 34. And Jonathan Toews from the Blackhawks, 68 points and plus 26.
I give it to Toews every year.
Toews. The Calder Trophy, Rookie of the Year, Nathan MacKinnon from Colorado, 63 points in 82 games, and a couple of Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, Andres Palat,
59 points in 81 games, and Tyler Johnson, 50 points in 82 games. I don't see there's any way MacKinnon doesn't win that.
Nope.
Lady Bing for Sportsmanship and Excellence, the Wayne Gretzky Award. Ryan O'Reilly from Colorado, 64 points, and as we've discussed before, two penalty minutes.
On a broken stick.
Yeah. Patrick Marleau from San Jose had 70 points and 18 penalty minutes. What a goon. And Marty San Luis, 69 points, 10 penalty minutes, and a demand to get out of town, which I think should automatically nullify him. Is there any way Ryan O'Reilly does not win that?
I think so, because I would probably vote Patrick Marleau.
You think?
Yep. He plays first-line minutes, and he's a great guy. So.
And he had more points, too.
Yep.
The Vezina.
I mean, you think about, I mean, we're talking about 18 penalty minutes.
That's still not very many.
That's nine penalties in 82 games.
Yeah. But it's
Matt Krug can't go 9 minutes without a penalty.
18 penalty minutes is a game for Matt Krug.
Yeah.
The Vezina Trophy, best goaltender. And yes, that's how it's pronounced now. You've done it.
Yeah, that wasn't me. That was my buddy Nate.
Yeah, I love that, though. Ben Bishop from the Tampa Bay Lightning had a .223 goals against and .924 save percentage. Tuukka Rask from the Boston Bruins, a .204 goals against and .930 save percentage. And Semyon Varlamov from Colorado, .241 and .927. Anyway, Rask does not win it.
There could be a good chance that Ben Bishop wins it.
I think there's definitely going to be a push for him, but I think Rask wins it. But I think it's a close vote.
Yep, I think so. And Varlamov, if he didn't have the off-the-ice incident, might have
the drinky-drinky, knocky-knocky.
Something like that, yeah. But what was I going to say? Oh, the best tweet I saw was some hockey expert, and he said, congratulations to all the teams that traded away one of this year's Vezina Trophy winners. So, and same with last year, yeah. Too. Bob Roske was a Philadelphia Flyer before he got traded away.
Yeah, Bishop's been traded a couple times. Tuukka was traded away. Didn't your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs draft him?
First-round draft pick. It was, and we had him in the AHL with a goaltender named Justin Pogue that we said...
Who?
Just exactly. And the talk around out of Toronto was you can't develop two goaltenders in the AHL at the same time. So we traded away Tuukka Rask. Justin Pogge is not in the league anymore. And
Was he ever?
Yeah, he was.
Briefly?
Yep. He ended up backing up in Vancouver and then ended up down in Phoenix for a while.
And then we saved the best award for last because it's about defensemen. The Norris Trophy. The candidates are Zdeno Chara from Boston. He had 40 points and was plus 25. Duncan Keith from Chicago had 61 points and was plus 22. And Shea Weber from the Nashville Predators, 56 points and minus 2. Interestingly, I saw Weber is the first player in NHL history to have 20 goals, 150 blocks, and 150 hits in the same season.
Nice.
So that may get him a little love despite the minus 2, but I still don't see any way that a guy who's minus 2, whatever you think of the plus-minus stat, too many people put a lot of weight into it. I don't see him winning it because he's minus 2, so I think it comes down to Chara.
I don't see him
winning
it because he was in Nashville.
Well, that's true. I think it's Chara.
I think it's Keith.
You think so?
Yep.
See, the knock I've heard on Keith is that he doesn't always face the other team's top line, which Weber and Chara do.
Yeah, who's their shutdown defenseman in Chicago then that plays against the top line?
It's the Sharmelson and I can't think of who he was playing with.
Nick Leddy?
No, I don't think it was Leddy.
Because it's Oduya?
Yeah, so Oduya. It was Oduya and Sharmelson that were playing against the opposing top line a lot.
Not when I watched.
Yeah. there's so much line matching that it's hard to say that you're not playing against top guys. When you're playing 28-30 minutes a game, you're playing against top guys a lot. Among the guys that were not nominated, do you have any beefs with these guys not even being among the finalists? Ryan Suter, 43 points and plus 15. P.K. Subban, 53 points and minus 4. And Erik Karlsson had 74 points, wow, but he was minus 15.
Not really. That's just a great list of defensemen right
there.
It's
a lot of good talent on the back end.
So, yep.
Yeah, you could have a lot more than three finalists for that one.
Yep.
And not have a problem with any of them. So you think Duncan Keith wins it? I'm going to say Chara again. Moving on. The NHL draft will be June 27th and 28th in Philadelphia. The Florida Panthers got lucky in the lottery and leapfrogged over the putrid Buffalo Sabres to get the number one overall pick. Buffalo will now pick second in the first round.
That's okay because they'll be picking there next year too.
So do you have any insights as far as top prospects?
No, they talk about the big four. So is it Sam Bennett? Is it the defenseman Ekblad? And so we'll just wait and see. I'm more interested in who falls down to eight, where my Maple Leafs will be drafting. So
they'll probably screw it up somehow.
There's always that chance.
That's a good chance.
So, but that's I'm really excited about it, and the show that we do in 2 weeks will focus a little bit more on the draft.
Cool. And then NHL free agent frenzy will begin on July 1st. The unrestricted free agent crop this year does have some fairly big names and a lot of pretty decent players. Some of the biggest names include Thomas Vanek, Jerome Iginla, Paul Stastny, and a couple of goaltenders you may have heard of, Ryan Miller and Martin Brodeur.
Yep.
And there are a lot of other guys that are names that people know that are probably going to end up in that $3 to $5.5 million contract range that are
there's
out there.
Also,
so there's a lot of depth. It's maybe not a real top-heavy market, but there's a lot of depth in the market.
There's also a lot of superstars that are on restricted contracts, so you wonder about the offer sheet coming over as well. And P.K. Subban as one. You'd be interested. They've had a rocky relationship in Montreal, and they have a little bit of a struggle getting him signed. You could see someone come in and offer him the 8 years, $8 million a year, and
maybe,
see if they match it or not.
Maybe Boston will sign him to one because, you know, their fans love him so much.
Well, his brother's going to end up playing for that team pretty soon anyway, so it'll be interesting. And then the other thing, boy, Paul Stastny. 70-point centerman.
What do you think he ends up getting? $7 million a year?
I would assume so, yeah. Would love for my Leafs
would say
to make a run at him.
He's arguably up there with Vanek as the top forward on the board.
I think he'll get more than Vanek.
You think?
Yeah, I don't think Vanek bouncing around through three teams this year. You know who I think will even make more than Vanek is Callahan. It's Callahan's free agent as well down in Tampa Bay, so...
Do you think he ends up staying?
Or do you think he'll go somewhere? Well, it's to be interesting. It's that always the good teams don't have a lot of cap space. New York Islanders, does he go back to New York, and does New York say, we're going to give you 8 years, $8 million, we want you to play right wing next to John Tavares for the rest of your career? And
you could do a lot worse than that.
That club sucks and everything else, but... It's 8 years, $8 million a year, and I'll give props to my brother because he says, you know, everyone thinks that it's agents and players making these decisions. It's the wives that make these decisions.
Yeah. Do you want to live in Tampa or do you want to live in New York?
Exactly.
It depends on whether or not you mind the cold or really love the beach.
Yep. So, because I'm sure Winnipeg's got a lot of money too, but not a lot of married guys going to Winnipeg.
Yeah. Very true.
Oh, wow. So... Last show, you debuted a new segment, and debutted a new segment, and obviously it received rave reviews via Facebook and everything else. The return, two shows in a row. Rap Masterpiece Theater.
Yes, the D-Bot last show was Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. This time we're going really old school. Steven Rickard rapping, if you want to call it that. It Takes Two by Rob Bass.
Iceman Insights and Tata Tunes Productions present Rap Masterpiece Theater. Some know him as Jam Master Stevie Steve, while others call him Rap Master Rickard. He's straight out of Muhlenberg County. The man, the myth, the lyrical legend, Steven Rickard.
Hit it. I wanna rock right now. I'm Rob Bass, and I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone. Because I get stupid, I mean outrageous. Stay away from me if you're contagious. Because I'm the winner, no, I'm not the loser. To be an MC is what I choose a. Ladies love me, girls adore me. I mean even the ones who never saw me. Like the way that I rhyme at a show? The reason why, man, I don't know. So let's go, cause it takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two to make it out of sight. It also takes a couple taters.
This has been Rap Masterpiece Theater, starring Steven Rickard. Tune in next time for another hip-hop classic. Until then, keep it real, homies.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like Peni.
That's what she said.
Hump. I love BJ's first circus. Steven Ricker's testicles. D-butted. No touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis. Vitellary Filippula. Filippuli. Filippalapa.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
And here we go, like the Triple Crown. We finish it off here in segment number three. Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, The Dirty D. Live in the studios, WYIR 96.9 FM. Oh, I guess there's no sound effect there.
You have to say wired.
Oh, wired. Sorry about that.
There you go. You mentioned the Triple Crown. Do you think California Chrome wins the Belmont?
I
become the first Triple Crown winner in forever?
I have no idea. But I may go down to Ellis and throw $20 on them, though, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, you may not make anything.
Yeah.
Last I saw, it was like a 1-2 odds.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Does that mean I make $40, or does that mean I make $20.50?
Math is hard. I don't know. Betting is hard. Math is harder. What's this segment?
This is the ode to Johnny Blues in Seven Kells, skating down memory lane.
Tomorrow, Thursday the 5th, is Isaac Coy's 29th birthday.
Ah, yes, the captain.
So in honor of that, we go back to November 7th, 2009, during our second AHA season, the championship year. On that night, the Icemen beat Battle Creek 4-3 at home. Michael Uvodich, or as Steven Rickard used to call him, Udovich, Uvodich, any number of other things, had three assists, and Isaac Coy had his only career Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal, assist, and a fight in that game. And in the fight, Captain Coy suffered a hand injury while literally knocking teeth out of Mason Cassette's mouth.
That's right. I remember that
and
now.
And he ended up missing 9 games as a result because he tore up a tendon or something in his knuckles. So that was an interesting night. As someone who knew Isaac Coy before he ever played for the Icemen, I never thought I would see him fight in a professional hockey game. And that was an interesting night, to say the least.
Oh, and Mason Cassett, there's a name, too, from the past.
Yeah.
So. He fought more than once.
Yeah, he fought a number of our guys.
Arena. Yep. The Brian Patafi Tweet of the Week.
You can follow Iceman Athletic Trainer Brian Patafi on Twitter, BPATAFIE. I'm paraphrasing a bit on this one, but you get the gist. When a mosquito lands on your testicles, you figure out a way to solve problems without violence.
What is he doing not wearing pants?
That's a very good question. Or anything under them, for that matter. There's a mental
image
for you, folks. You can unfollow Brian Patafi on Twitter.
I have to up one you here on the Tweet of the
up
Week.
Up one.
Up yours. Yeah. Boy, that was a great commercial. One of our listeners, Kara, was talking about her daughter, Cameron, who is 13 years old. And if you remember back to our last show, we did our top 5 of players that we would like if we were the armchair GM that we would come back. And Cameron stated, obviously, they didn't base it on cuteness.
Correct. Yes.
So I thought that was
that. So who would your top 5 cuties be?
I probably would keep the same one. I think Dylan Clark's a stud. So, I can't remember who we even picked. So,
yeah, that's been we've slept since then.
Yeah,
maybe not a whole
long time ago. That was a whole long time ago. Hockey 101.
Just one item this week. This is from Chad Beefcake Burley. He said, can you discuss the unwritten rules of, quote, fighting etiquette, unquote, in hockey?
I would suggest that you should have been at Iceman Live back at Beef O'Brady's the last time we had Matt Krug on, because we actually spent a whole segment on that and it was just downright fantastic.
Yeah, that was a really interesting segment. And I think we can sit here and talk about that all you want, but there are a lot of things that only someone who's done it can really, I would say eloquently, but this is Matt Krug we're talking about, that can talk about with knowledge, perhaps not eloquently, but at least with the experience of having done it. But there are a number of things. I think the first thing is you never take advantage of a guy. You know, if a guy is clearly hurt, you've talked about that before when Guy Lapine got hurt, that he was telling the linesman, telling the guy he was fighting that his hand was hurt, and the guy kept going anyway.
Yep.
You don't keep going when your opponent is clearly prone or injured in some way. And you also don't generally, unless the situation really calls for it because someone just crossed a line, you generally don't fight out of your weight class.
Yep.
If someone is about the same size, about the same height, it's okay.
And same fighting experience.
Right, yeah. But if you're 6'4", you don't fight a guy who's 5'9". And yes, even if the guy is the same size as you, if you have a ton of experience, you know, if it's Guy Lapine and there's some kid on the other team who's in his first professional game, you don't go after him unless he wants you to. If he asks you to go, then cool, you can go. But you don't just take a run at the guy because he's supposed to be their tough guy and he's their big guy, because you don't know if he's really cut out for it or not. But if the guy comes to you, then all bets are off. You can do whatever you want. But still, once the fight begins, you definitely don't take advantage of someone. If they're hurt, that's the big thing that you hear about in the code. And that, by the way, is a very good book. There's a book called The Code that's 300 pages or so of just guys. It's stories, basically, of longtime hockey enforcers, a lot of really respected, well-known players who were longtime enforcers in the NHL. And there's just story after story after story, and it's an excellent book. I read it a couple years ago, and I think last summer I posted, or maybe 2 summers ago, I posted a review of it on IcemanManiacs.com.
I remember that.
If you want to go to IcemanManiacs.com, go to the info and features page, and I think there's still a link to that book review on there somewhere. But it was a really good book, and I highly encourage anyone who just wants to know more about the code and the unwritten rules of fighting etiquette in hockey, go give that review a look first, and then if you think you're interested in it, find that book on Amazon or somewhere, because it's a very good read, and it's very entertaining, too. It's a lot of really insightful, but also a lot of really interesting and funny stories from a variety of different guys who've done a lot of fighting, and, you know, we've talked about it before. The guys who typically do the most fighting are often the biggest characters on teams, and that really comes out in that book.
Yes. One of the things that I have pitched a couple of times and that the Evansville Icemen have worked on it in the past is bringing the Hansen brothers to a game.
As a promotion.
As a promotion. And we'll see if it ever works out. They're pretty pricey. They've tried to get them to come in like during the week or something like mm-hmm. that, or piggyback off of another local.
If they're somewhere else.
Yeah, if they're somewhere close or whatever. But the same thing. I always thought, boy, that would be kind of goofy to have the Hansons out there or whatever, but then I heard an interview with them, and it's the same thing. It's just telling stories of back in the day and everything else, and these fights and these characters and everything else, and they are fantastic.
I think you just want them to come here so that you could interview them for the radio.
Oh, I would, yeah. But, I mean, that's how good they are. That, yes, I would interview them on the radio, and I would sound good.
Would you put the foil on?
Yes. No.
So, yeah, that's Hockey 101. Yep. Only one entry this week. Anything else about fighting etiquette that you can think of?
Not too much.
I think it's really common sense. It's just have respect for the guy you're fighting. You know, if you're...
Both guys should be
willing combatants. You know, you don't jump somebody from behind. That stuff's obvious. But you just, once you're engaged, you know, make sure you engage with someone who it's a fair fight. And once you're engaged, have respect for your opponent.
Yep.
That's really how it boils down.
The dangling tangent.
All right. As a follow-up to Hockey 101, I figured this is a tangent, but it's actually semi-related to what we've just discussed. Have you ever gotten into a fight while playing hockey?
Yes. Well, no. I have gotten in a fight during a hockey game when I was refereeing.
Really?
It was refereeing the men's championship game back in Old Swander, 98-99. And a player who later raped a woman and got deported back to Canada.
I think I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
I bet you do. But he came in a scoring chance. He got hooked right on the hands. My arm goes up like this. And the puck goes into the corner. The offending team hasn't touched the puck yet. He stops and starts screaming at me, "You've got to call a penalty. You've got to call a penalty." Well, my hand's up in the air. His teammates still have control of the puck, so it is a delayed penalty. The mm-hmm. goalie comes out of the net, goes to the bench. He skates right up to my face. I'm trying to avoid him because I'm watching the play, and he's yelling, "You've got to call a penalty. You've got to call a penalty," and then just punches me right in the mouth.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
And I had to grab him and scuffled with him and everything else. And so his team got a 2-minute power play, and he got a game ejection and never played in the men's league again.
I would, yeah. Wow. So you never got into a fight as a player, but you got into one as a ref.
As a referee.
How about that? So have you ever gotten into a fight off of the ice, away from the rink?
Not
in a bar
since.
Or whatever?
Well, no.
Or in high school or college or something?
Nope. Not an actual fight. When we had, back in college, we had a guy throw a brick through our window, and we wrestled him down. Been in a couple of, like, wrestle him down kind of the ground kind of things,
but not a
toe-to-toe fight.
Gotcha.
So. Now, I will also say, one of my hobbies that I do, most people know this, a few may not, is I like doing...
Nerd alert!
Medieval full-contact combat, where we're suits of armor, and we use wooden swords,
and
we beat the crap out of each other. Well, that stuff I take not weird seriously, but I take it seriously, learning, you know, weapon styles and everything else. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, it's a rush and everything else. Well, I can't let a Matt Krug walk past me. I just can't do it. So there's quite a few times during the season when we cross paths in an elevator or in the bus or whatever else, and I'm not meekly stepping aside because I have martial training.
You are man.
And
you are too much man.
No, I am not. As Matt Krug showed me over the one time we were down in Florida, and he was walking by, and I just chirped something at him. I was feeling a little ornery. Maybe had an extra cup of coffee or something like that. My shirt was over my head, and I was in a defenseless position before I even reacted. I mean, he is so good, and he did a lot of work with a lot of the other players, helping them protect themselves and fighting and everything else. He would hold, you know, he would get some of the younger guys and work with them. But it was amazing how strong he was, because, you know, he didn't clobber me or anything like that, but, you know, I would position up and I would push around with him and try to, you know, just a little leverage, a little angle, just mm-hmm. to see what I could do. And oh my gosh, he just every time just like a rag doll. It was scary how powerful he really is.
It was totally good-natured time, but it was kind of his subtle way of just letting you know that if you ever got liquored up and decided to try something, your butt would be on the floor.
I think he just, you know, we just kind of had fun with it and everything else, but I didn't want to get showed up, and he didn't want to get shown up either, because everyone's around, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the best were, you know, there'd be five guys in the elevator or whatever, and it would stop at my floor, because with the team, you end up being on different floors, and I would walk into the elevator and just give them that shoulder check, you know, just that whole
a little rub.
Were you even standing there? I'm sorry. And there was one time we were in Toledo, and I did it. I just walked in, and I was like, dude, I'm walking here. And he didn't say anything or anything else like that. And the elevator went down to the lobby, and everyone else got out, and he put his hand on my chest. Like, we're going to let everyone else walk out. And
we're going to finish some business.
Yeah. Oh, not good.
So what happened after the door closed?
But he left.
And you asked for a mop to clean up the puddle on the ground?
I had to stretch out, work maybe a little bruise out. So what a just great guy, just on and off the ice. And
and then later in the season you spooned.
Yes, we did. That's right. We were roomies too, so that was probably one of the funniest
the
moments,
development of your relationship.
As great as Matt Krug is, his fiance, soon to be wife, is just absolutely fantastic person, super super cool. And so much so that after the last game, she came in. We were up in Kalamazoo, so she came over from Detroit with the family and everything else to watch the last game. And then they actually, Matt stayed there that night, then rejoined the team on Monday. Mm-hmm. We got on the bus on Saturday, and I'm sending him texts like, I can't believe you're with her. And they went out, do some shopping with the baby or whatever else before the game, just real casual kind of stuff. And they came back in, and I was at the front desk getting something, and they came into the lobby, and I said, oh my God, she's wearing that. and she just laughed and everything else. So just great people.
Cool. Good stuff.
Yep. Final thoughts.
Next show, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
We're shooting for June 18th.
Deal with the calendar. Hopefully we got a coach, and we'll talk some NHL draft.
Mm-hmm. And then tentatively July 9th or 16th, we'll figure that out when the time comes.
That's a long time away.
By then, we'll have free agent frenzy to talk about, and maybe a player signing or two. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, maybe another team will have folded in the West.
Yeah, we'll be down to six.
So, yeah, we will have a champion, though. So
three of them.
Yes.
Well, we'll see.
Yep. Two for sure. We'll have an ECHL champion for sure. And one thing that... as mentioned in the first segment, Barry Almeida, the opportunity, he plays for the Cincinnati Cyclones, to win back-to-back championships. He was with the Reading Royals
last year
and now playing with Cincinnati now. And the reason I bring that up is the ECHL, this is not the NHL, and most of these guys are on one-year deals. And who is playing right now? We have just as much opportunity to bring one of these Cincinnati Cyclone or Alaska Aces players to Evansville as anyone else has.
That's
so
very true.
There is so much movement in this league that you do not know what teams that are playing for the championship, who will, a player will end up on our club
this today, coming year. Today's enemy can be tomorrow's friend.
Yeah, today's enemy could be tomorrow's captain.
Yeah, very true.
He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster, the vice president of Off Beach Shenanigans for Evansville, whoops, for IcemanManiacs.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of your Iceman information, IcemanManiacs.com.
And at some point within the next week, the schedules. So enjoy the schedule release, and we'll talk about that more next show. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.